just wait for Lama to get back so she can make
no,
sure.
No, she told me to push it for her.
Oh, okay. She got control. She's got
running.
Yeah,
that's right. I'm in training.
Here she comes in.
I make coffee.
Hey, jack of all trades, master of some.
Well, good morning, everyone. It is Friday, August 5th, 2011. It's a little after 9 a.m. We're reconvening our budget hearings of the Jefferson County Commissioners Court. One of the issues, among many others, that was to be discussed this morning was the issue of courthouse security. Philosophically, I remain committed to the fact that I think it's an unnecessary expense given the lack of events that happened over a 76-year period up to the time we got courthouse security, and I believe it, still believe it to be ineffective. However, all the members of the Commissioner's Court during the last couple of weeks have received comments and input and suggestions and criticisms that relate to courthouse security, and it's not an issue. You know, even though I believe it's unnecessary, I can't argue with the proposition that it can act as a deterrent to some people, and I can't argue that the criminal courts are busier than they were in the past. And so the suggestion has been made that since this is a revenue item that is under the control of the Commissioner's Court, which can be changed at any time during the budget year, that we defer this issue to the Security Committee for further study, for more input from the affected, from the sheriff, because we've given the sheriff a very short time frame within which to make suggestions and some little guidance in that regard. So, are the members of the court comfortable with deferring action on this until the Courthouse Security Committee has been able to receive more input?
I'm in favor of that, Judge. But I want to put a time frame on it. I don't want this thing to run and run and run. Let's make sure we get a time frame on it so we can get it accomplished and out the way and do the best things for the citizens at a reasonable cost.
I'll commit to whatever time frame you want to be in the committee and discuss it. You know, try to set some timelines. So give me a date certain, and we'll try to have something back to the court by then.
I think that, to me, it would be a good thing to at least have it running by the beginning of the new fiscal year coming. Not new fiscal year, but at least by January, at least.
Okay. If the sheriff is agreeable with that and having proposals back, we can have a recommendation back to the Commissioner's Court by, I'll say mid-December.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. You know, we can't make an informed decision, at least I can't, without the information and what the proposal is going to be brought forth. The system is something that, you know, they're reevaluating and going to come up with some different options. So I'll wait and make my decision once I see those proposals.
Right, and I want to say I agree with the court, but I think we need to make sure that we have goals and what we're trying to achieve. I've received comments from a couple of the judges and department heads, of course, on where they stand on this thing, and I'm going to reserve my decision. But I think that's the wise decision, judge and court, because I don't think it's fair to Sheriff Woods to try and rush this thing, because it's a vital issue. And I think mid-December is quick enough. Sheriff, do you think you can give us some, do you have a goal, matter of fact? Do he need all the instruction from the court of the goals or what we're trying to achieve? I mean, I think that's what was wrong last week, is that we didn't have a set goal. Some people say protect the perimeter. Some say the courts. Some say, so I really don't know what we're trying to do. The objective of this, Commissioner Arnold.
Good
Commissioner Natchez, our goals are to try to make this facility, this courthouse, as safe as possible. That's our goal, to do that. And, you know, we kicked this thing around for a good long while now, and it is not without challenges. And as long as we have to deal with the inability to lock all the doors and allow people emergency exit, that even makes it more challenging. So, you know, that's our goal, is to make it as secure as possible. Is it perfect? No, it never has been. We knew that when we started it, that it wasn't perfect. I made everyone aware of that. For several different reasons, it's never been a perfect system, but it's about the best that we can do it with the situation that we have to work with.
And I want to also state, Sheriff, that make it as safe as possible for what budgeted amounts that you can do it at. I mean, you know, I think the issue is more budget issues. So I just want to add to what you're saying. So I know you have a set amount that you have to work with, or, well, that's not predetermined now. We're right. Still kind of wavering on that. But I think do we need to give him a set amount, guys?
No, we don't need to give him a set amount. So the sheriff was given instructions to go get us a plan as safe as possible. But as you said, what we're working with, we want to reevaluate the safety, reevaluate where we're at.
Well, we are now at the amount we're at. You may come back with it high. No, so that's what I'm saying. We need to make sure the goal is clear from the court, and that you understand it. So that's what I need. I need to know, okay, for $100,000, this is what you get. $500,000, this is what you get. $1 million, this is what you get.
You know what we're spending now?
Yeah, that's right.
And you see what you get.
Yeah.
If you ask us to spend less than that, you're going to get less than
that's
that.
Right.
So, okay. You know, that's where
right.
We are. Okay. So, I mean, that's kind of where we are on the thing. You know, I'm not a magician. You know, I can't make, you know, there are certain things I can't make happen. It's just, it's challenging. I will tell you that I'm of the opinion that it has value, that it has worth, just as a deterrent value. We've had discussions, well, is it going to prevent somebody that is totally committed to get somebody in this building, if they're willing to die for that cause? No, it's not going to prevent that. Now, those are the same issues our military is dealing with today. But is it a deterrent that may deter someone that has some issue going on in one of the courts in this building from acting out, a violent act in this building, or bringing a weapon in here? I believe that it does. And that's what we're trying to achieve. My fear is I don't want to see a gunfight in this building where innocent people get hurt.
I hear you, Sheriff. I hear you very well. And it's your job to make sure you secure it. And you have a pretty good-sized budget. I think we're gonna task you with getting it secured, and we're going to look at the budgets. We're going to look at them real. As one commissioner up here on the court, we're going to look at them real, and we're going to take the appropriate time we need to make sure we make the cuts where we need to make them. And we ask you, just like the public is asking us to do things, we ask you and every other department head to do things.
I appreciate those words, Commissioner. But as I said before, I'm not a magician, and I can only work within the resources that I have.
So December is plenty of time for you to get back.
I would just, based on your comments, Commissioner Apper, I'd just add this to them. And this is a cold hard fact. You cut the $200,000 in part-time, you will not have a screening line. Period. It ain't going to happen. Because that's the part-time people that we're using down there. Now, can it be more efficient? Can we look at ways to reevaluate that and maybe use less people or something? That'd be up to the sheriff. But, you know, I would only say that. I mean, yes, he's responsible for security as the law enforcement head of the county for the courthouse. But he can only do what we give him resources to do with. So it costs money to provide security. So leave it with that.
Well,
We got a lot of other issues to discuss. I think Mr. Swain has some charts and he wants to fill us in on where we are in the process and what the results of last week's meeting came out to be. So I guess we'll go ahead and move on.
Thank you.
Auditor.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Okay, in your packet you have in front of you, kind of want to go in order of your packet, that you have what's called the analysis of available fund balance by fund. There again, we start with the estimated ending fund balance on the first page, $30,888,098. Proposed revenues for next year, which includes our increase property taxes is $105,537,425. Currently, after all the cuts, you know, we started out with $115 million and change. Our proposed expenditures right now are $111,741,239. We're going to address even some further reductions after this. So right now, you're drawing down fund balance roughly $7,200,000 to come to a $24,684,000. The second page is just our debt service.
Swain, we had a $5.6 million increase in the ad valorem tax revenue from industrial values.
Actually, a little higher.
And okay, we had
6.4. We picked up because we moved our collection percentage up to 98% versus a 97% estimate. So
what have we been collecting on, or what have we actually?
About 98%.
But the residential values were somewhat down,
right,
and the increase was caused by the valuation of industrial properties because of the energy sector performance, and you know, all those guys pay their taxes. We should have 100% on that, but. But what I say, we had $101 million in revenues last year and $6 million in increases from industrial valuations. But so we must have lost some fees, fines, and taxes.
Yeah, we're looking
taxes.
Still some sales tax. Yes, yeah, still reductions in sales taxes. You know, I think, you know, we're still trickling
still
down.
We're
hoping it's going to level off to make $20 million this year. But right now, we're still at the $18 million budget mark. And also, we've cut interest. We're just not earning as much. And of course, I think, you know, it probably went down a little bit more yesterday.
This morning it was going up.
Yeah, but that's a tough task for the treasurer to try to, you know, with the restrictions that we have, you know, it's really protecting the principal. So we've reduced some of our interest costs. We'll still continue to monitor, you know, before we give the final revenue number. Look at that sales tax, because we anticipate that some of those sales tax adjustments that were hitting us negatively have gone away. So we can see, you know, month of August that it's kind of cleared out. But, that's kind of where we stand. To go to property taxes, the next page looks like this. This is kind of the appraisal roll comparison. You can kind of get an idea of just kind of a quick snapshot of the top part is dealing with value, and then when you get to about the middle where it says total levy, that's actually dollars. So when we say the total levy is at $84,508,657.36. This is all at 36.5 cents, our current tax rate. There's frozen accounts for those over 65 and disabled. You deduct that. Now, we did pick up an additional, $2.3 million on Motiva. First, I anticipated that $1.1 million, but I was off a year because I was looking at a fiscal year, not the tax year. Tax year and using kind of a year behind. So, not a year behind. They talk about 2011. We're talking about 2011. So, actually, we net to pick up about 1.7 in payments there. There's been an adjustment for the going from 97% to 98%, you know, 1% difference can generate about $800,000 in taxes at that point. We don't need as much money for debt service next year. All that being said, it looks like the general fund, we pick up the additional 6.4, coupled with those reductions in proposed sales tax and interest, that gets you down to about the 105,537 mark for revenue. One thing that we looked at, or that came out of the calculation for the effective tax rate, is that the effective tax rate is 37.7 cents. So we are below, I assume the plans are still to stay at 36 and a half cents.
Correct.
We are below our effective tax rate, which, as we understand, we'll triple check those rules one more time, that no changes have been done, that we don't have to have the two public hearings on the tax rate, kind of like last year.
Okay. You know,
there will be language in your budget document on the cover page. You make motion to approve the tax rate or proposed tax rate, you have to say it a certain way. This tax rate will generate more revenue. You are generating more revenue at 36 and a half cents. So that's the same. You
know, but based on the legislated
right, that's all
effective tax rate, which triggers any kind of rollback or public notice, that rate is estimated to be what?
37.7.
Okay.
37.7?
Mm-hmm. So
well,
in essence,
we well within
if that holds, that means that we have not. So the appraised values and the tax rate and everything, there's no tax increase in the general public.
No tax rate increase.
Yes.
Right. It all stems on your individual property. You know, the part of it is, I think, well, the number for new value that rolled on.
In the calculation of the effective tax rate, they discount from that calculation the value of new property that comes on during the year. So the industrial expansions produce new property and new tax revenue while not
impacting
the calculation of the tax rate.
And that was $671 million in revenue.
$672 million
in revenue. And not
revenue.
I'm sorry. Value. There you go.
But the big issue was residential properties on the average across the board went down, and the industrial values went up.
And that's due to those progressive things this court has done to help industry build more plants and things in this area.
Your real residential single family on 5 acres of land or less went up 0.17%. So 0.17%, so less than
3 cents of a percent.
Correct. I think you had a slight increase in 5 acres or more, so more mobile homeowners and acreage owners out there. But the
then rest, we back out the exemption, it's actually
right. Left. Your townhomes, your apartments are down. Land.
Minerals are down.
Yes. And we can get you to
help
break it. Yeah, sure. So that's kind of a quick summary of the revenue. Let's go to main sheet. We'll spend a little time on this one. This is the schedule of proposed budget for fiscal year. The proposed budget after budget hearing is $111,741,239. We're working our way down. So we are removing things that are up in that number. Personnel request that we had, basically the only personnel request that we were heard positive 3-vote support for at that point was the juvenile detention, funding that at $17,000, and turning that extra help in precinct, Constable Precinct 2, to back to full-time. And of course, the elimination of the custodial supervisor. Well, my next part. That being said, not awarding the other ones results in a reduction of, or not getting any new position results in a $633,134 decrease.
And that's including fringes?
That also, let me step back, that includes the reclasses, and we can get you a schedule, but there were, and we visited with human resources on the groundskeeper out at the ski park, and I think they recommend that going from groundskeeper to utility maintenance worker, but that was something they were in favor of. You have one in purchasing, of course, I think y'all got two members of the purchasing board here, but that's a separate board. And then the 252nd, the criminal courts had the court appellate coordinator turn into an attorney. And we had three votes approved for that during our budget workshops.
Everything's on the table.
And after that,
oh, we've got the 317 associate.
We're going to get to, we're rolling down to that.
Okay.
Because that's not a, we're not proposing it to be a full-time employee.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. So it's reclass and requested.
Actually, just to, yeah, that's, well, what that is, that's taking away all the ones for other constables, county clerk.
That's taking away everything except what you just said, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Took the two positions.
All right. So salary and fringe benefits that were added into the budget before.
Okay.
And any of the, like the salary adjustments where, you know, people were wanting like a 3% for their employees.
Yeah, X all that out.
All those, all right. All those out. All right.
Okay.
Next item is something Commissioner Arnold, I think is a great idea for this at this time. He had mentioned looking at this. We've gone back. You know, we have $1.1 million proposed and $111 million to go for capital projects. And just a quick summary of what that money was going to be, just as we all kind of look back and forth. Was the we'll get to schedule $611,312 for the phone payment,
right?
Shoreline protection for Pleasure Island. We originally, I think, had the $500,000. We cut that back to $100,000.
And Port Arthur and
MR. And Port
Arthur's going to
be what?
Yeah, I think we
they haven't given us a number. Port Arthur had told me that he was going to bring it up at their next commissioner's meeting, which is next week. And I have not heard back from the Navigation District yet. And I imagine they're going to probably talk about it at their next meeting.
Are we splitting the three between the three of us? Down to that $100,000 down between the three of us?
Actually, it's probably more on their side.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, $400,000.
So basically, how much we putting in?
$100,000.
Okay.
And if they turned it down or decided not to participate, then ours is out.
Yeah.
Well, there's quite a few ifs in this deal.
Yeah,
it's about a $1.9 million project. We've got about $900,000 left in the 2007 CAP fund. We've got $100,000. We're assuming that Westpac, which is what has to put in a turning basin there, is going to carry about $500,000 worth of the cost of work needed to be done along that shoreline, but engineered by Bill Worsham with LEAP Engineering, and then that leaves us $400,000 short, which we're hoping to make up from the other entity. So that's the puzzle.
Got positive response, though, most of
them. Yeah.
And I think it'll be four different entities, Commissioner, Navigation, Port Arthur, and then the county. So it may be four, which our $100,000 is already committed.
Okay. Y'all keep the court updated on that because it's very important when we're getting down to it, not nitty gritty.
Right.
Okay. So you got the 611 plus the 100, you're at 711. We're going to add them as we go. Sabine to Galveston shoreline protection, that's that overall study. You add another 50,000, so that gets you to 761.
Okay.
We We have some more beach erosion and dune restoration, but this is more of looking on that burn for the protection of the McFadden Marsh and Wildlife Rest Beach, $100,000. So we're at $861,000. And then we took as an omen, after we walked out of budget hearing, the elevator broke when we got through discussing it. So we're actually going to put $300,000, which was what was in the maintenance budget. We're going to set it aside. Not sure it'll for the elevator. But understanding that we're, the heavy work won't come until the construction's finished. But
and it's scheduled to be finished when, Commission?
February.
So that's $1,161,000. Now, we're looking to pull this out of next year's budget and fund it, this transfer, with some of the savings we have projected for this year. We have an adopted budget. This year we're in, $107 million. We have estimated expenditures of $103 million. Those are round numbers. We're gonna try to work within those savings. Possibly even within the 103, if we can look at some of our other transfers, to fund this in this year's budget and not, you know, push it over into next year's budget. So we're proposing to take that out and fund it out of this year's budget. That's all clear.
So we can do all those projects and with the grants down there, Judge. We can do that, right? That those things are acceptable.
Yeah, most of the funding for the beach berm work is actually going to come from that $3.2 million from U.S. Fish and Wildlife and from GLO, and, you know, the partnership between the county, GLO, and U.S. Fish and Wildlife, but most of the money is coming from Fish and Wildlife.
Okay.
So do we need to vote on that or a motion, or is it just?
Well, we'll kind of, I think we, let me go through them, and then if we want to kind of run back through and do the vote on it. The next one, reductions to the 279 to 317th district courts to fund the part-time associate judge at basically a full-time level, but not a full-time position with insurance. So what we did is we removed the insurance we had budgeted in the proposed budget out for $11,000. And then they're actually going to cut their fees that they pay for the juvenile detention hearings,
okay,
what they pay the attorneys.
Right.
Both on board.
Both, okay.
And so we took the balance from the 279, so that gives the funding added, I think.
But actually, it's a reduction in their budget.
Right.
By 11,000.
By 100,000?
No. No.
33,000.
That puts them about level with last year.
With the current year's budget, okay. They're even.
Yeah,
okay.
But it's 34,000 less than what they proposed.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then what was
in our proposal.
Yeah, because they had some increase. Now this next one, that's reduction. Reductions to extra help. I think we were asked to look at some of the JP extra help and you know, kind of level those off. And so we made some slight changes. So we'll get into that schedule. But basically, it was JP 4-8. Looked at cutting some of the constables, some of them minor, back to what their proposed amount was this year.
What their adjusted budget, like Constable Precinct 2, I looked at what he was paying his clerk before he used Ben Collin, and I took him back to that level.
Yeah.
Precinct 7 had just put a cost of living increase, so we don't know.
Right.
Let's get all that. You know, get us all that.
Yeah, let's
get us all that.
Let me run it and just grab a couple of copies of that real quick.
So those were the extra help that we called for.
Yeah, because moving down, I'm gonna jump, but if you grant an overall increase to the employees, we always adjust the extra help item by a percentage.
Gotcha.
Okay.
All right.
So, that's just, remember that, and that's
okay,
some of that stuff where you're talking about those people that want to move some salary increases.
Right, also.
But I don't want to get to that number yet.
Also, Patrick, I want to reduce my extra help another $4,000 on that request. I had a $14,000 request, and I want to reduce it down to 10,000. So that'll carry another 4,000 on that Friends night.
So minus 4,000 on precinct
three.
Okay.
Another 4,000.
The next item, and it'll be part of the schedule also, you had some costs like cars, equipment, associated with some of those new positions that we're not proposing to fund. So that's a negative 94,000 that comes out. So now, as of today, for the next item, we're at 109,807,610. Actually, you're at 803 because you just cut 4,000 out of extra health and precinct three. So let's use round numbers and say you're at 109.8. All right, next, this kind of gives a schedule. That kind of shows you what makes up the 11,000 and then the 94,000. That for a little bit.
We reduced the extra help another 4,000. Fran, you wasn't in here.
Yeah, 4,000 out of okay, now, next proposal is going the different way. I've heard discussions about different percentages.
Where are you?
I'm still on the same sheet.
Okay.
I'm
seeing 9 years in the
Dana.
Before we go to this one, I would just like to interject at this point in time with what you have proposed here, assuming we're all in agreement, we're still at $2,790,000 above this year's
present year.
Amount.
Present year.
Yes.
3,939. But his budget only asked for 3% total increase. So I just removed that since it would be considered.
I knew there was some discussion
that's
to me.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, here's a little cost of living analysis. Kind of a history of. And, okay, as you know, the union has deferred their raise until this year.
Is that a 5 and a 5? It's a 5 and a 4.
5 and a 4. 5,
correct.
Deputies, 4 corrections.
Correct.
That's built into your budget, 1.1 million.
That's 1.1 million without fringes?
That includes.
That's included.
Yeah, I'm not sure. When I added it up and we were going through the budget and changes, it came to like 1.3. Can't figure out what our differences are coming in.
Step.
Maybe there was.
Could be the step.
It could be the step.
Okay. So the proposal out there, 2%, $420,000 for each percentage. 840,000 is a 2%. Counties, you know, we had those 3 years frozen, caught up. We actually kind of exceeded back in FY 2010, which was in 09, 010. If you look at the little CPI schedule, and the one that we've used since I've been here, we've been in Houston, Galveston, urban wage earners. If you look at 2011, there was nothing, no raises or no cost of living granted. You're about at 4% from this 2010 to 2011, it's been about a 4% increase. A number of components go into cost of living, you know, what we find. food, housing.
Energy.
Energy, medical, the whole shooting match. I think when we first looked at this, we were looking at February to February, and it was about 2.5%. I think all those energy, high energy costs have caught up with this one. The numbers are June to June.
What's your June to June number? Because I looked at February to February.
June to June, the index was 615 to 639.78, which actually produces 4.02% increase for this index. So there it is. I'm throwing it out for, you know, we, and this can be a decision either way. We move forward without it or with it. We just need to know to prepare for it or not.
Patrick, in the past, little chronological history. When I first came on the court, I think 3 years prior to me getting on, there wasn't any raises to the employees.
2003, 2004, 2005, actually. No.
3 years prior to me getting on, there wasn't any raises to me. And then 3 years after I was on, there wasn't any raises until we were able to squeeze out a 2%.
No, in 2002, there was raises. 2001, back.
Oh, two. Yeah, was it 1%?
0102 is given, those raises given.
1%?
Yeah. We had the 3 years of 2003.
That's the only 3 years I know of that we hadn't gotten a raise.
Right.
In a long time.
And then last year.
Okay.
I think we had some raises in 0102. But yeah, definitely 2003, 2004, 2005. There was nothing in 2011.
I'm with 2%.
1-2.
I'm with 2% because one thing I've always, coming from municipal politics, is that where law enforcement and civil service people are always, and rightfully so, they're able to negotiate cost of living in time. I mean, you know, non-civil service workers pretty much have the same increases that we have on our daily families. So I'm for 2%. 2%.
I'm going to say no, and the reason is, for justification purposes, is I think we're still in a very down economy. I think the general public does not favor government spending more money in any shape, form, or fashion, whether it be raises or anything else. And I have said from the beginning that I'm not going to vote for anything that increases our budget from last year, and consequently this would increase it, and I have to vote no. I think the employees deserve it, and I know that we've increased their benefits from a standpoint of the cost incurred by the county taxpayers. That has gone up exponentially in the last 5 years. We did not pass those costs on to them, and I think that in itself is a form of a raise based on the general public and other individuals who have to pay for their medical benefits. So I can't say that we have not given substantial raises either in salary or benefits, but that being said, when and if we do get to a point in our budget in future years where we have extra money without considering tax increases, I'm all for catching them up if we can.
I would just say that, you know, I think in today's economy it is tough. There are some costs associated with some of these numbers that you've given us. I mean, price of gasoline, all of those things have went up. I would just want some clarification on, you know, with this, if we did the 2%, how does that impact us, you know, is budget-wise, with some of the things that we need to take care of in terms of doing business and providing services to the citizens, what does that take away from? Because that's one of the things I'd like to know is, you know, when we look at these lists of projects that, you know, we're wanting to do, does this take away from any of that?
No, actually, we're going to put the $1.1 million, we're going to set that aside in
the current year's budget, so that funding will go to capital projects. One of the things, and I guess it's kind of been, I don't know if you inherit a budget philosophy or something, but one thing, you know, we've never really layered on new spending over what, and when I say layered on, salaries, they're going to get spent.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a definite. And they get spent the next year.
Except for unfilled positions.
Yeah, I mean, but for the most part, you know, there's some items like capital. We'll come back in the tough years and cut the capital projects, things like that. You know, we're going to pick up $6.6 million in new revenue. With this proposal, you'd be layering on $2 million. You've got $1.1 million you're going to spend with the union. $800,000 here, that's a round number of $2 million that's going to get spent next year.
So with the increase here, just for clarification, you know, there's no increase to the tax rate as a result of that?
No, we're keeping the tax rate at 36.5%.
And we're going to be able to take care of our capital projects
in this year's budget.
In this year's budget.
This year's surplus.
Even if we took this number out, we're still going to have an increase.
Yes. Yeah, I think you know,
Even if you took this 840 out, just take it out of the equation, you're still going to have an increase to your total budget as of last year.
Correct. Right. Actually, 2.8 million.
And a lot of those
2.7.
That 2 million that's going to be increased from the budget has to do with some of those mandated things that we have to do. The phone system,
the phone system we pulled out.
Okay.
But indigent health care.
Okay.
The retirement's going to increase.
Medical costs.
Overall.
Union increase.
Yeah, retiree insurance.
Let's revisit that indigent care. You know, we spending 4.2. Let's leave it at 4.2 this year.
You know, everybody's seen the historical analysis. If we go back to the beginning of the decade, the county's budget overall has increased. From 2000 to the present, if you look at the historical numbers, though, the increase in the county budget has not been as large as the increase in the consumer price index. So the general cost of all other services, and we have not kept pace with that. The other good thing is that we've gone from a 42.5% tax rate down to a 36.5% tax rate. So the cost of funding county government by residential ratepayers has actually decreased during that time period. Most of the increases in the budget have been funded by the construction of new industrial plants. So, you know, it's not been a cost of government that's really been borne by residential ratepayers, even for the increases. I agree with everybody who's talking at the table. How's that for a lawyerly answer? You know, I can say very comfortably that, you know, the amount of money that I'm spending on gas and food for my family has increased pretty dramatically the last year. That's resulted for me and for all the other employees in a real reduction in buying power in what we make. I am never going to take an increase in my pay, but and that's another issue that needs to be discussed. What's that number come out to if we eliminate elected officials from that increase? I would like to see the budget at around $109 million, which would basically be the only increase would be our contractual increases, but that would require us to cut another $1.6 million. And
we'd have to go back through the budget and find $1.6 million in order for me to be comfortable voting for that 2% increase.
We have on our calendar August 17th to kind of a drop dead date to finalize, you know. We're kind of a little early coming, you know, which is good, getting some things out of the way. But August 17th for drop dead on major decisions.
Yeah, so
we can start compiling the budget.
Right. So with that being said, with that date out on the table, I would just want to have some more due diligence in looking through this to see if there are some additional cuts that we can make so that this number may offset that and we still get it down the bottom line down to kind of what we're looking at.
Yeah. We're shooting for 109. It's going to be hard to make because you've already had reductions to.
But the thing, we're losing our point of focus here because we budgeted 107 plus last year,
mm-hmm.
but we're unprojected to spend
103.
So in essence, we over budgeted last year.
Commissioner.
Because there's the natural savings.
Right.
So my open positions.
That. Right.
And, if I can predict those,
yeah, I
should be here.
But this is the thing that's happening historically. You know, when we were really down, what we had done, we talked to department heads and elected officials. We asked elected officials if you would hold from hiring somebody unless it was essential, would you hold back on hiring that person for 3 months, 6 months? We asked them to work with the court. And in departments that we had control over, we said it that you wasn't hiring at those times. That was one thing that the court did to make sure when the times were real lean, we basically had darn near nothing in reserves. And what else did we do?
Short budget of elected officials for its position.
Yeah.
The fully funds.
Just ask, right, and ask them to work with us.
Right.
Now, there are some natural things in, for example, I can't say we under budget, we over budget, because for mosquito control, which is a very large budget, when you don't have rain, you don't have spraying and all those other things that occur. But when the rain comes, the citizens of our county will want to make sure that each of you guys that sit up here with me know.
Let me rephrase my statement. Conservatively saved $4 million out of our proposed budget for this year. And as a result, we're benefiting now because you're gonna be able to pay some future bills out of this year's budget. So I'm not saying that what we did was wrong.
Right.
I'm just saying though that we need to start, even with the increases, at the 107 level, not, you know, looking at what the mandatory increases are. And still have a reason to reduce the size of government. It's grown big.
Right, and Commissioner, one thing I want to say is the size of government, Commissioner Alford opened my eyes in 2005, I think we were at 80 million dollars, and now we're talking about 109, 115. But I don't think we could ever, and this is a very passionate subject to me, is pay the employees, and this is not grandstand, it's just common sense. These people have to, I drive here from, and I want to talk to you guys, I drive here for meetings every day. Y'all might need to increase my gasoline fee. So
you might need to get a Prius.
I don't look good in a Prius. So, I mean, you know, if we're going to have serious discussions about the budget, I don't think you can yell at it. If I'm not here tomorrow, I'd be sitting in the audience. We don't need to balance our budget and project it on the backs of. This all due respect, Commissioner Arnold, I'm not trying to belittle. If law enforcement and people that bargain for increases in salaries, because they are having more expenses also, it's just a balance across the board. People that can't negotiate, and we're the only ones that can fight for the people that can't negotiate their salary. So 2%.
Sure, I don't mean to disagree with you, but you know, and I know our issues are very different in a lot of ways from the private sector, but how in the world do you think that our economy and our private sector has continued to survive these years and continue to make a profit without reorganizing, re-engineering, and downsizing and doing more with less? Why can't government do the same?
And I totally agree with your government, but I mean, if we're going to use that yardstick, we need to use it across the board. And me and you said in your office.
I don't disagree.
But not on the backs of the employees. Right.
I've got 8% this year out of my personal budgets.
Right.
And departments that I have to have supervision over, they also cut their budgets below what they did last year.
What you tell, what you saying? We need to bring everybody back through the large budgets and look at their budgets again?
If we want to be serious about getting our expenses under control, yes. Anybody that's over that 2% level increase, if you look on page 2 of this itemized list of who has come in at what level, of course, we made some cuts today with precincts, but I think anybody that came in over with over a 2% increase, leave the ones that are below 2% alone, but anybody that came in over 2% on that second page, ask them to come back and give us some more.
Well, I think you and I sat in your office, and I'm not going, and one thing we need to understand, we have to provide a service because that's what we're obligated to do.
And we've got a lot of unfunded mandates that flow down from the state level. They cut their budget to some percentage on our backs.
That's exactly right.
And I realize that.
And the percentages on these papers may not tell the entire story of what, but I mean, if we need to revisit, my whole objection is that we don't do it on just a discussion of 2% raise for the non-civil service.
About the whole budget.
These numbers that are on here don't take into account the decisions that
we've done today.
That we've done
No. So. I'm just going to go to the top two budget. What's the sheriff's and jail's budget?
If you figure their 4% and 5% raises in, plus the contractual food cost, the jail is probably about $300,000 to $400,000 over, and the sheriff's office is about $200,000 over.
Taking those out.
Giving them
credit. I would say you need to take out the union increases because that's a decision that was outside his
I mean, you look at your first one, which is a 2.68% increase on the jury fund. Well, the increases that we've had in our jury fund, which have been substantial over the last 5 years,
why?
Have been because of state mandated action.
Well, that's what I want to hear.
We have no choice.
Make sure we put out
no
there.
Choice.
But they're sending you the money to pay the difference. So you're going to pick up that. We're kind of budgeting whatever increase there, the revenue, if it goes to jury pay.
But
they don't always pay. I mean, we got our constables out serving papers for them, and they don't pay us. They don't pay us. They just, when the AG decides to quit paying us, they just quit paying us.
Okay, so I've got a no, two yeses, and a yes
and
to get to 109 million.
Yes.
Yes, if we can get it to 109 million.
What you got, Brent?
This was the 840,000.
Still voting on the 2% increase.
Yeah,
I've done my due diligence. Talking to I come from the employee base here at the county, 20 years, and I went out and I've talked to these employees, and they understand the time that everybody's in, and it's hard, and. The price of gas and the price of loaf of bread going up. But they're thankful to have a job.
And we're thankful to have
them. I want to make sure, I'm up here looking at the big picture. And I just want to make sure that we've done our due diligence in this budget and going through and looking at these departments that maybe had some increases, if we want to try to capture that 2% before we just arbitrarily give it out. And especially when times are tough for us. We've got some unfunded mandates, and it's not that I don't want to do it. I just want to do the due diligence before we just knee-jerk and say we want to do it just to do it because we think times are tough. Yeah, times are tough. And the employees will tell you that. You go talk to them. But they're thankful to have their job. They're thankful that they have a job with benefits. and because they look around nationwide, you know, at unemployment, at the level it's at, those kinds of things. So, of course, everybody would want to have an increase. And I'll tell you this, just like I lowered my budget in my precinct and my liaison departments lowered their budget, I will not accept any pay increase for myself at all.
So where do you stand on the 2%?
Not at this time.
All right.
Patrick, I think Judge and I spoke this morning. Is there an area you need to look at? Is there some things that we need to look at? Because I am totally in line with giving employees a raise because of where like Commissioner Senegal said, they can't negotiate theirs, but at the same time, any of those budgets and those large budgets, if there's areas in there that we need to be able to tap, we need to look at them and ask those individuals, if they're elected official or if it's a department, look at your budget again and see what you can do.
We'll do that. Now, with that $109 million we're shooting for, that is a drawdown of $4 million roughly, $3.5 million. So is that a comfortable level we're looking at for a drawdown on the fund balance?
How much
budget for?
What'd you say?
Well, we're at 105.5, and if we get this down to 109, that's 3.5.
We drew down last year what?
Six.
Well, I'm great with that. If we don't do two below.
So $3.5 million that y'all comfortable with drawing down.
Yeah. Well, now we'll get 2-6 better 7.
That's getting down to 109. There's things to discuss. Do you want to see from a $2 million increase from 107 to 109, or do you want to see a $3.5 million drawdown on fund balance? There's two sides of this equation. There's revenue and expenses.
Correct. Yep. You know, when you look at that fund balance,
if you can squeeze more revenue out, then you can probably get to $3.5 million at a higher $109 million budget.
Here, and somebody kind of give me some feedback on this, but, you know, when I look at this fund balance at sitting at, you know, 30, you know, and look at what we want to try to keep in there, you know, here's where I'm coming from. You know, I don't like seeing us hoard all that, for lack of better terms. I mean, we either give it back to the citizens or we give it back in form of services. I know that we need to keep that. We need to keep a certain level in there for emergencies. But where do you have? Where is the level where you can't go anymore or dip it into?
Well,
Commissioner, 16.5. When 16.5.
But let me give you some historical data and reality. If we, by any chance, get a storm, when we had the storm Rita to come through, if I'm not mistaken, the numbers were $23.5 million the federal government brought into us. That helped us get on our feet. Let me make sure that this court understands. If we have any disasters, we must have adequate funding in there because the citizens that we serve will cut our necks off if we can't get the industry that we serve will not be able to get in here and get their industry up and going. We'll cut our necks off. So let's be real honest about it. It's very important to have a good, comfortable reserve account, right, Commissioner Arnold?
Well, and along those same lines, the state cut most of the emergency funding out of the State Department, which we counted on last time to help get us on our feet right away.
Yes.
I'll just ask a question.
Our policy is 15% minimum and above. What we've tried to do on drawing down on the fund balance, and this is kind of the budget philosophy that's still inherited kind of thing. If you draw down, you try to draw down on these capital projects, you know, by moving.
Because they're one-time expenses.
Because I can, you know, we can go from history that reducing the tax rate from 42 to 40 to 39 to 36.5, there's not a lot of public input. But raising it from 36.5 to 42, you will fill the entire courtroom and have time meetings.
That's right.
All kinds of things.
Threats. That's right.
These two went through that.
That's right.
And it was I think the public appreciates the decrease in the tax rate, but they really get angry over the increase. So you know, there's two ways of giving that fund balance back, reducing the tax rate and lowering your revenue, seriously drawing down, but or taking that additional revenue and using it for one-time projects and hopefully not having to refund it to any industry.
I'm a hoarder. I believe in having a very healthy fund balance because for the issues that Commissioner Alford mentioned and the fact that in Ike we received about $29 million in disaster funding. And I'm not certain that in future budgets that we can depend on HUD funding for that kind of disaster-related issues. I also think we need to have a healthy fund balance for economic development purposes, that all those prisons out there came to this county.
Yes, sir.
Because we had a healthy fund balance that could fund the infrastructure costs, and several other counties that were ahead of us in the queue to receive those facilities told the state, you got to wait 9 months for us to make a decision because we got to float a bond issue to fund the infrastructure. And because we had a healthy fund balance, we were able to pay for the land and the infrastructure, and all those jobs came here. And so,
I agree with you. I mean, I think emergencies, you can't stop that. So I guess my question is, let's say next year that we're facing some tough times, which we don't have a crystal ball, but let's say we are, we draw it down again, and then where it's like King's X,
how's this? We've got down to $1.6 million. And actually, when you get to that point,
you can't buy pots.
You can't adopt a legal budget.
Yeah.
Because you can't adopt a budget where you take money in the bank plus revenue plus expenditures is a negative.
And that was due to
anybody on this board, but
I was here.
Rate went up.
I was here.
6 cents, I think.
I was here, and the people at this county, so we had to depend on, because we had to go and ask them for a raise, increase in taxes. And the commitment of members of that court at that time was, we will get you down back where we were. And that's what the commitment came out. Now, those things are very important. And if it wouldn't have been for, and a lot of people don't know this, the Road and Bridge Precinct get their funding from different sources. If it wouldn't have been for the reserves that they use for different projects that benefit, like, for example, the Bell Road project that I would like to do to expand for emergency purposes, wouldn't have been for those fundings that was in our reserves, we would have basically been illegal and
bankrupt.
What they call bankrupt.
So trending with the drawdown, what does our county look like, trending purposes? I mean,
well, actually, for this year, if we wouldn't have Valero, we'd have been 34-34.
Right.
We would have been flat.
Wow.
We couldn't control that, though.
Yeah.
But we can't count on the increases in industrial property values because we don't have that many more projects in the pipeline. We do have a few, but over the next couple of years.
Yeah, it's going to be a while before some of those abatements roll off
and we start getting additional funding for that. So we have to continue to be very conservative with our fund balance going forward, not knowing what the economy is going to do. And it's not being guaranteed that we'll have this kind of thing. If we hadn't had an industrial base increase this year, we'd be looking at a different picture today.
Yeah,
if you wouldn't have had the plant expansions over the last 5 years.
Hey.
That's been our boom, I'll tell you.
We have put in and worked with, and the fruits are coming to our citizens.
There's a lot of jobs in this state, big counties. I was talking to somebody last night over dinner from Harris County and some others that were familiar with other counties, and they said, how much do you have in industrial? I said, yeah. Oh my God, that's bigger than most of the larger metropolitan areas have in their tax budget. So we're fortunate in that regard.
Yeah, and you can tell because you look at those areas that don't have an industrial base and their tax rate is 20 to 30 cents higher than that.
And they're cutting and cutting and cutting.
I'd like to see that 109 number and see if we can do our due diligence, go back and look over some of these increases and see where we can whittle on that a little bit. I think it's unfair, though. You know, some of these departments are very, very small, and, you know, you can't cut, you know, paper clips. I mean, you know, you can only cut so much. So there's some disparity there. I don't agree with cutting across the board, you know, 5%. I just think that's a lazy way to do it.
Just shoot for 109.
Yeah.
With the actually going from 110. So we're looking at, with the judges,
1.6.
Contingent vote, $1.6 million to go back and find.
How does Indigent Healthcare play in this? What kind of
You don't have an option with the 8% rule. We had spent under the 8% rule, but we are in this contract, and that's why I said on that contract. We're not in a contract, though, matter of fact. That's just
whatever we contribute.
We are in a service. I mean, we do have an agreement with them to provide the care.
Yeah, we do. And
but they have that option that if they want out or if the county wants out.
Yeah.
And if we do get out or they get out, then the county would
4.2. That's a nice number.
There was increases in your pharmaceuticals, so that would drop that back down as well.
Drop it. But 4.2, because it looked like, you know, I'm looking at it from a standpoint of how many going in and how much. We're looking at it for the leverage side of it. The leverage side of it, and I'm not going to say drop the pharmaceutical, because if you look at the time period of increases, you can't see the increases in pharmacy compared to the increases in indigent care. Because when I came, pharmacy, it's not even at the number it was when I came, but we had an outside group doing pharmacy ancillary for us, script care.
We visited with hospitals. We recognize we've gone up in the last 6 years, 600 and something indigent cases, average to 1,015.
We have no control over that.
Right. So, you know, the proposal is what, 1,015 we put in there? So, are we saying cut that we threw in there the other day?
250.
Cut it 100? Cut it 250? I'll take votes.
Sure. Okay, you know, historically, though, have we always given an increase every year?
The actual reimbursement for actual costs is $700,000 more than what we're contributing to the program.
A million this year. That was that we're going to have that we didn't contribute.
And that extra quarter.
Was that based on their reports?
Which we've got the quarter they're processing, but we're averaging about $1 million a year, a quarter.
A million
circles.
Right. So we were only upping it to $700,000.
To get us to 3.7?
No.
3.6?
What's that total number, Frank? I'm sorry, I think
for the department, 4.6, but that includes the pharmacy, the part-time nurse practitioner, physician assistant. That includes all that additional cost. The hospital,
and how?
Hospital services was only 3.9.
Yeah, 5079, we had department request of 5.171 originally. We cut it by $350,000 for the hospital service. I think that was the cut. It was 701.
700.
It was going to be right in the middle at 349.
Right.
350. Yeah, you have 62,000 in or 63,000 increases in pharmaceutical supplies, and then there was some contractual service that went up for a new consultant service for upgrade to a certified electronic health record system.
Right.
Well, if we cut the increase down to 200,000, that's $150,000 savings, which is 10% of what we need to save in order to get to that 109 number.
Okay, so what's the new number? We're going to cut it
to two.
Cut it to two.
200,000. If I heard
the increase to 200,000 on the UPL, that'll save us 150,000. That's 10% almost of our 1.6 million in savings.
Okay.
And what we're trying to accomplish here is find that 109 number. so that, you know, the 2% is kind of, we can find it in some savings. I mean, that's my hope. You know, and I'd be remiss if I didn't, you know, for the record, I mean, FY 2006 to FY 2011, a 22% increase for non-union. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's where I'm coming from and talking to the employees out there, commissioners. You know, they recognize that from 2006 to 2011, they've seen a 22% increase in their pay. So they're happy that, you know, that they had that and that's been able to happen in the past. So, I guess,
and that was where we brought the cost of living schedule, because we wanted to make sure we went back, because some of those years that we were given the 22% were catch up for the prior year.
I understand. So, right. But it's still something, and they recognize that. I mean, it's still an increase that they saw in that fiscal year. So if we can find that savings in this budget with a 109, just like we just did here, we went a little bit and found 10%, that'd be good. We'd get to 2%.
Okay.
Anything else, Mr. Hawk?
Yeah, we'll keep you informed.
I think we need to also ask each of the department heads, elected officials who have open positions, to strongly consider taking those out of their budget for next year if they're not needed, or if we can make do with what we have.
Here's what you got in open positions.
I have three, and I can put it on the table right now. I will not. I have those people hired right now. Matter of fact, Commissioner Arnold, you took one of those spots, but I have these three individuals right there, and I'll tell you.
I have the smallest work group in the county of any of the R&D precincts, Commissioner. So,
I don't
and
have.
I've done it through attrition. It's got my budget significantly. I challenge the rest of everybody else to do this.
Well, I'll put it like this, Commissioner Arnold. You know what? In my precinct, we have four parks. And we have three or four different programs we provide to the citizens there, and we're going to continue to do what we have to do to help the citizens there.
Right, and I have one position here, and I dare anyone to look at the map of Jefferson County and see how much ground I think it's almost 30 square miles I have to cover. Humphrey Park, Dick Dowling, Sabine Pass, Pleasure Island, plus Finette. So, guys, I'm running lean just on keeping up with the guys I have. That one position is really should have been hired a month ago, but I don't like hiring people in without doing a trial run with them and seeing how they work. So that one position, I am not cutting. I'm stretched. Precinct 3 is the biggest landmass precinct. I didn't know that till I got elected. But that's a lot of ground we cover out there. Sabine Pass, the beach. Net, Pleasure Island is quite a bit, Humphrey Park. So I can't give that position. I do. We must provide services, guys. We got to.
Well, I'm filling mine because I like to get paid.
Yeah.
That's in payroll.
Well, okay. Yeah, keep that one, Pat.
And we cut one out. Okay, we'll work with the departments. We'll see what we can do. And like I think Commissioner Richard touched upon, there's some departments that are just salaries and benefits.
I agree.
Yeah, can't touch
them. There ain't no getting
can't touch
them. Too much money. I mean, you know, we went and got, 6% last year?
Yeah. Yes.
What are you talking about, 6% what?
Of that budget last year when we went in and asked them to cut?
And part of what Commissioner Arnold touched upon was, we're budgeting 107, we're projected to spend 103. That's why when you're going to get an additional $6 million, I'm not uncomfortable putting this proposal for the 2% out there. You know, I can't guarantee you that you know, we put a $109 million budget, everybody's going to spend $109 million. I can go from past history and say, we've only done that one time when we ran out of money. And that was a year when we didn't fund the departments 100% with their salaries and benefits.
Correct.
Also, guys, we blame a lot on legislators. We need to be mindful of that, the unfunded mandates and what we have to deal with to provide services since we're on the front line of the voters. We need to remember that it trickles down. It trickles down from D.C. to Austin to Jefferson County, and the voters need to understand that. So when we have to cut services because we have unfunded mandates or other obligations put on us that we provide services to them, we need to remember who voted for those things. That's my two cents.
All right.
Well, and when are we going to get back together?
Looks like it's going to be the 17th.
17th, okay.
What day is that, Thursday? Okay.
17th. Okay. Good job, guys.
Listen, hold on a second.